First John chapter 5. And I'm going to start with verse 18 through 20. This is the word of the Lord. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for Jim this morning as he delivers the message to us. Holy Spirit, we pray for you to come upon him as we know that you dwell within him, Lord. We pray that the words that Jim speaks to us today will be your words that he will put forth, Lord. Open our hearts. Help us to be ready to receive this message from him today. We give praise to you in Jesus' name.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hopefully you're doing very well in the Lord. You know, isn't God good?
Yes.
Have you all come to realize that God is really good?
Yes.
And he's faithful? You know, even the song service this morning, it was like every song is just like, oh, I melt when we sing about God and his faithfulness and his love. And I was just blessed. That was such a good thing, man. Give the invitation and let's pray for people. You know what I mean? It was good. So I appreciate that very much. Whoever picked those songs out, keep listening to God, okay? All right, if you would turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I'd like to talk about revelated knowledge. Do y'all know how important it is to really get revelated knowledge? You know, and where does it come from? Have you ever thought of that? You read the Bible and all of a sudden something just stands out to you. You know, it's like, man, I've read that before and I never seen that. And it's a revelated type knowledge that goes so deep in your spirit and in your heart. But where does it come from? 1 Corinthians 12:8 says this, am I just running you guys all over? I just gave you, I'm sorry about that. Just write that verse down, look it up later. How's that? For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So this comes through the Holy Spirit. So when you get revelated knowledge, understand that God is speaking to you through his Holy Spirit to give you that knowledge. And I want to be honest with you, not everyone gets that knowledge. They kind of wonder, where are you getting that at? And you may know something. Do you ever know? You may know something, but when you get that revelated knowledge, it's like you know it and you can stand on it. And nobody can take it away from you. But if you have just regular knowledge, it's like you can forget that at times or always, you know, kind of go past it. But when you get that revelated knowledge, that's where I say and when I pray, I say, no, God said. No, God said. And you can't tell me any different. And it doesn't matter what it might look like. God said. Amen. So it's important to really go after that revelated knowledge. And I think here in what we're going to read right now in Matthew 16, starting with verse 13, is I think Jesus is trying to bring the importance to this revelated knowledge. You know, if we know it, if we have it, the enemy can't really hurt you all that much. He can tempt you. But you've got some revelated knowledge that he can't take from you. Amen? You can't be persuaded differently is what I'm saying. So let's look at what Jesus is doing here and what others have said. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14, so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You know, the people that they mention here are great, and they did look up to him, but it's like they could overlook him. It's that was just a prophet, or just a teacher, no big deal, you know. So then we go on to verse 15, and Jesus said to them, he said, you know, I hear what they say, but who do you say that I am? You know, I think this is what messes a lot of church people up. You know, we get saved, but sometimes we don't get that revelated knowledge of who Jesus really is. You know, we can go to church, we can sing the songs, we can read the scriptures and all of that, but we go home and there's no change. Or when you come into church, a lot of people have needs and they won't come up for prayer. Because it's like, well, I tried that before and it doesn't really work. Folks, we need some revelated knowledge in our church today because the enemy has taken all of our power. Don't realize that? We need revelation knowledge. That's where our power comes from, by the Holy Spirit. So let's go on. Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You know, you may listen to what the preachers say, but until it's revelated to you, it's just the preacher. You know what I'm saying? It's just the preacher. That's why I always pray, Holy Spirit, let me stay out of your way. You share through me what you want to talk to your people about. Because that's the only word that really sticks and works. And I always ask him, Lord, I always get in your way. Help me stay out of your way. Do you ever get in God's way? Oh, wow. So now let's go on to see why Jesus even asked all of this. To begin with, he already knew, right? Didn't surprise Jesus. Verse 18, and I also, let's see, my Father revealed it to you in heaven, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, really, if you look that all up, means pebble, the pebble. He said, on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then, of course, in verse 20, he commanded his disciples that they should not tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. There's probably a lot of reasons he did that. I know one was people hear different things and they may take it out of context, may draw more people. But Jesus, you know, a lot of this stuff, you can tell people all you want, but until it's revelated by the Holy Spirit, it just goes right over your head. So, you know, there's another one if you want to look at real fast is Luke 3:16, the revelation that John the Baptist got of Jesus. I thought that was cool. We've all gotten some sort of revelation of who Jesus is, but you might think about who's Jesus to you? What revelated knowledge do you have of Jesus? Has the Holy Spirit been sharing things with you? Has through your life, your experiences with troubles and problems or situations, has Jesus proved himself to you? And so that's important. As we go, gospel's not just talk, folks. It's power. And that's what the church really, you know, I love it with my prisoners. I go to the prison every Thursday and then one Saturday a month. And then we do twice a year, we do a four-day weekend with them. And so I just did one last weekend. And so God does a lot of work. But when we say, who's the church? And what to say? We the church, real loud. You know, and we do that quite often. Who's the church? We the church. You know, so they understand that we're not talking about a building somewhere or a big congregation somewhere. We the church. And that's why we need that revelated knowledge. And then we come together and that power is you know, brought together and made more powerful. We talk with one another. We encourage one another. We build each other up. And it's important to do that because we do get hurt and we do get downed sometimes. So we come together to get built up again in Christ. Amen. So Luke 3:16, John says this to all of the people that are around him. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. Folks, does that show honor? When I come into the presence of the Lord and in his church, I'm so honored. I feel so privileged. It's like preaching his word. What a privilege that he gave me to be able to do that, that he's called me to it, that he would entrust his word for me to share with you. Thank you, Lord, for the honor. And that's the same one with you as you go out and share with others. He's given you that privilege. He's given you the revelation. Now we're to go out and share it. Love on people. And he goes on to say, he said, man, I'm not worthy. That's a slave job. And he says, I'm not even worthy to do it. I'm not just a slave that I'm demeaning, you know, everything. I just got to do the dirty work. He say, no, I'm not worthy. Man, I want to serve Jesus, but I'm not worthy to even loosen the sandals on his feet. And then he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You know, this is one problem I've always found and seen in a lot of the churches, is that a lot of times they kind of push the Holy Spirit back because a lot of them, I believe, have been taught wrong. It's like when you mentioned, hey, I like the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he's there. But don't tell me I got to speak in tongues. So it's like, here's gift, and they don't even believe in the other. Have you ever noticed that? They don't even believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Most people don't. I don't know where you guys are, but I want to tell you where I'm at. Amen? So you can throw rocks at me if you want, but hey, I've had some revelated knowledge here. I know what I'm talking about. And so I'm sharing it, but there's a lot of people don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But these gifts are to help us through life and then to be able to witness and to help others. You know, the word of knowledge. Isn't it nice when you can go and just speak into somebody's life? And the thing about it, I've noticed in my life that I don't even know I'm doing it. Have you ever noticed that? It's just God. You go and you start talking to them and something you've seen in your life, you might just start sharing it, you know, with them. And it's what they needed to hear. And I had no idea, but God did. See, that's how the Holy Spirit works. But people kind of reject that. In fact, remember when you read in Acts, I think it's in Acts 8, where Philip, see, Paul's persecuting the church in Jerusalem. Now they scatter. Philip goes to Samaria and he preaches Jesus. people are getting saved, there's miracles, demon possession, you know, the demons are cast out. Great things are happening. The whole city and place of Samaria now is being converted because of Philip. And then the disciples hear about it, and then Peter and John, I think it's Peter, yeah, Peter and John, they go to Samaria. The apostles send them to Samaria. What did they go there for? So that they could have the Holy Spirit. See, we get saved. That's wonderful. Man, I'm going to heaven. But do you want to do anything now, or do you want to hide in a closet somewhere? And so Peter and John went down, and these people now received the Holy Spirit. So they've got the power that's going on and everything. How about Paul after he was converted? He went to Ephesus, I believe it's in Acts 19, and he started talking to about a dozen guys that were religious. As he was talking, and I noticed this a lot, as he was talking to them, he said this, he says, boy, something strange. He says, what baptism were you baptized under? Man, I hear what you're talking, but it's like, you know, you don't have any real depth. What's going on here? And they said, well, we were baptized under the baptism of John the Baptist. And he said, well, that's good, but that's under repentance, unto repentance, that is. And he says, but you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And so he did. He taught them, baptized them. Then he laid hands on them and they spoke in tongues. See, now Acts, you don't want to read that if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. A lot of us received the Holy Spirit when we're saved. I did. And I got the gift of speaking in tongues later. Some of you are looking at me like, did I sign up for this? It's all right, it's free. But see, that's what's important, folks. Sometimes we don't understand what God really wants to do in our lives. He wants to use us to minister to other people. He loves you. He saved you. Now he would like for you to allow that joy and that gift that he's given us to share that. We're to share that with others. And so that's what it's all about. You know, Jesus even said this in Mark 23. He says, if you believe, if you can believe, he says, all things are possible to them that can believe. Now, I think that's great. Isn't it nice that you can just believe God's word and that everything is possible? Otherwise, why would you do anything? Well, it probably won't happen. You know, I mean, who am I? God doesn't use me. And so you fail to move by faith, just believing Jesus as Lord. I'm just sharing your word, and the rest is up to you. See, if you lay hands on somebody, you don't heal anybody. Do y'all know that? It's a gift. Jesus already paid for that. 1 Peter 2:23 is, by his stripes you were healed. Past tense, it's already there for you, accomplished. We're not begging for healing. We need to learn to believe for it. You lay hands on them, and it's up to the person just to believe and to receive as you believe in going through the motion of touching them. Man, when I was in Honduras and they all come up for healing and for other things, I couldn't speak their language, so I didn't know what they were up there for. The Lord says, just walk down behind them all and just touch them on the shoulder. I'm, okay. And people later on the next night, they wanted to testify of all that God did to them. And they were testifying, man, I was healed and this happened and that happened. And see, that wasn't me. It was just me being obedient and believing what God told me to do. And that's the way we are, folks. Our power is in God. Our trust and hope is always in him. But see, Satan's lied to the church. We feel that we can't do anything. We're powerless. You know, how about when the COVID thing hit? The government locked the churches down for a year. Most churches, or a lot of churches. And what they did is they proved that their church is powerless. Government said shut down. Most of the churches complied. A lot out of fear, and then out of, well, you got to obey the government. It's like, really? In shutting down? But a lot of them met in parking lots, and they did. I understand that. But I know in at Harbor Light, I don't remember how long we shut down, maybe a month or so. And a pastor asked us, he said, what should we do? Should we stay shut down, be compliant with the government? People are looking for a place to go to worship God. And here all the churches are shut down. And so I told the pastor, I said, hey, we're to open. We're to be that light. I said, who is the government to tell us to turn our lights off? Shut the doors, lock up, and don't help anybody. Stay away. And one of the other elders said this. He said, well, what do people think? And I said, they don't come anyway to church. So they don't care. And anything we do, they won't like. So why don't we try to please God instead of pleasing man? And so we opened our doors. Do you know our church grew over 100 overnight? And they stayed, most of them stayed with us even after that. And so we opened our doors and we started worshiping. We had enough room to where we could space people back. But what does that help? You know what I mean? Somebody's got a cold, you walk past them, you get it most of the time. So my wife and I both got the COVID virus. But we trusted God and God brought us all through it. But I'm just telling you, the enemy attacks the church and people don't see the power in it. Most of these young people anymore go around, who's the church? You know, it used to be if somebody does something wrong, you bring them before the church and you share it. And then the church, you know, they did their punishment or whatever to try to change them. One man who was gone or married his father's wife, they kicked out of the church, have no part of him. And it wasn't long before he came back begging for forgiveness. He changed. But now who's the church? Who cares what the church thinks? I'm just telling you, folks, that's where the devil has brought us and led us. But it's not God. We're that shining light. We're to shine for everybody. We're to take our stand for the Lord and be who he's called us to be. So he's saying there, we need to build the church. First, we have to be built. We've got to have the revelation who Jesus really is. Who is he in your life? He's my hope. He's my salvation. He's my strength. He's always faithful. He's always come through for me. I can pray and he answers. I can have my confidence in him because he's never failed. Who's Jesus to you? My grandson called with girl problems. Great. And I told him, I said, Dakota, who's Jesus to you? I said, maybe you better go into the Word and search that. Who's Jesus? Look up, who's Jesus? Is this girl that important that she can destroy your life? That she can pull you away from Jesus? And so he did that. And God began to touch him. Maybe we need to revisit. Who is Jesus? Folks, if you didn't get touched by these songs this morning, you really need to get in and see who Jesus is and can be in your life. I got a lot of important things to share with you, but I run out of time. But anyway, I'm going to continue on for a little bit. That's all right. 2 Peter 4:2 says this, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Here's another translation. This is the Amplified. I always look at other translations because I want to just kind of get more in depth with some of that if I can. It says, preach the world the word as an official messenger. I like that. I'm an official messenger. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And he says, the time is right, and or be ready when the time is right, and even when it's not. Keep your sense of urgency. Folks, I want to tell you, Jesus is coming back soon.
Yes.
And there's a lot of good church people are going to miss it. And of course, the world's going to miss it. We're going to be ready. Look at what's going on out there. Jesus is coming back for us soon. So he says, keep your sense of urgency, whether opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. Correct those who err in doctrine or behavior. Warn those who sin. Exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. That's what the church does. Who the church?
We are.
We're the church, right? See how that works? Now, let me ask you this. How important is the word to you? Where do you go when you have a problem? Dear Abby? I don't know if she's still even working, but anyway, just be Dear Abby. Man, I go to the word. God, what do you say? What's your word say to do? You got to go to the word. The word is important. It's God speaking to us. Luke 4:4 says this, but Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Folks, this is why we need revelated knowledge and understanding. Let me read this quote. I think the last time I was here, I gave you a couple of quotes from people. How about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German pastor, theologian? He was a martyr, a spy. Was asked in 1943, people ask him this, how was it possible for the church to sit back and let Hitler seize absolute power? Did y'all hear the question? How did the church sit back and let? Because we don't see the power we have. You know, the Lord said that we can bind and loose. We bind and loose things that have been bound and loosed in heaven already. Now, we've got to speak it into existence here on this earth. We have the power. Satan has just blinded us thinking we don't. You know, when I was in the military and in Vietnam, the biggest thing for the army to do was to keep our morale up. If you have an army with no morale, they're already defeated before they even go into battle. But when you have good morale troops, I'm going to tell you, they're invincible. Invincible. They fight harder. They don't think about quitting or giving up. And see, that's what we need. And that's what I try to do. Hopefully I'm doing a little bit of that anyway. But I want to build a morale in the church. Man, you guys are so powerful. If you ever understood the power that you have, you would turn this world upside down. Isn't that what the disciples and all those that believed in Jerusalem did? They even said about, these are the ones that have turned the world upside down because they walked with Jesus. But Satan doesn't, he wants to break your morale and say, hey, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. You prayed for people and they don't get healed and you've done this and look at your life. Do you ever notice how people like to put you down? And it's a lie. God doesn't do that. He builds you up. Pat you on the back. He lifts you up and say, hey, it's okay. We can do it. We can do it together. He doesn't give up. Peter started to sink. He didn't say, swim for it, Peter. You know, you could have made it, but sorry about it. You messed up. And then just let him sink. No, it says he reached and grabbed him right away and picked him up. And that's what he does with me a lot. I want to tell you a lot. When I was in prison, you know, and I talked with my wife about it. I said, you know, we've been doing this for a couple of years now, every Thursday and then one Saturday a month. I said, I don't know if I'm really having any effect at all on these guys. But I go up and I preach my heart out and I share his word. And so last week, when I was with them, there were four or five of them in the prayer room. And before you do a talk, you go in there and they pray. They call it praying you up. And I kind of went in and being the smart aleck I am, I said, I feel pretty close to the Lord right now. So I said, you better be able to pray. You know, it's like, great. Tell your people that. How dumb is that? You know, that really encourages, doesn't it? It's like, hey, go do your thing then. Don't bother us. But I sat down and the inmates on both sides and around it, they started to pray. And they said, God, thank you for Jim. Thank you, Lord, that he comes up every week and he preaches your word. Father, he doesn't even care whether he makes us angry, but he still preaches the word and it means so much to us. God, you've changed us. And each one was praying like that. And I want to tell you, it broke me. I had no pride. I was broke. Because I seen what God was doing. God was doing. And he was doing it through me, and I was so humbled. And after they got done praying, I'm like, oh, I'm weeping. I'm weeping. Tears are flowing, man. They're handing me the Kleenex. And I get up, and I start to walk out, and it's about time for me to get up and talk to, you know, 48 of the new inmates that came in. And I had to pray, I said, God, please help me stop crying so I can talk. And then give me the power, give me the grace that I can share your word, that it would change their hearts as well. And the Lord helped me. And I got up, I'm still wiping tears. And I preached to them. And I was blessed to be able to speak six times. Usually it's two or three times, but they gave me the privilege to speak six times. And then I encouraged them to come on Thursday nights. And they said, are you going to be there? I said, yeah, I'm going through. Really? Yeah. Because I want a mentor. I want a mentor. Most of these guys are in without the possibility of parole. My wife went up there one time, and there was some of the other ladies, and they let them in, do special things, you know, to sing to the guys. And I introduced them to my wife. And I don't do that normally, but I trust these guys. And I wanted to show them that they're truly loved. And so I introduced, here's my wife. She's sticking out her hand, just shaking hands with them. These are, a lot of them have killed people, you know, and have done everything you can imagine. And But she wasn't shy. Other women, like, stay away from me. But I wanted them to know that I trusted them and loved them. And there were like 30 of them or so. And they were just, oh, they were so, the inmates were so gracious and so full of honor. And it was just neat to see what God did. But folks, I'm telling you, I've got so much more, but I'm going to quit. You got to realize you're the church of Jesus Christ. No one can take that from you. You can give up your power and ignore it, but I'm telling you, you got power. Pray for people. How do you know they won't be healed? You got a demon issue. Cast the thing out. Say, get out in Jesus' name. Man, I had a woman come to our house and she was using the F word and all this. I'm like, what in the world? She wanted counseling. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to wash your mouth out with soap. You know, and then my wife asked her a question just to be nice because we were sitting down getting ready to start. And she gave my wife a smart aleck answer to her, really defiant. And I said, look here. I said, I'll throw you out of here. You want to talk like that to my wife? We're here to help. But I said, I will throw you out. And she said, wait, okay, cool down. It's okay. And all of a sudden, the demons started coming out. I didn't even tell them. They just heard that I was going to throw them out. Now, don't tell me you don't have power. All I did was put the wastebasket and gave her a box of Kleenexes. And she coughed them out. And then she talked about how delivered she was. She didn't even know she had demons. She didn't even know they were cast out. She thought we just did some good counseling.
Sometimes they know, sometimes they don't. That's God revealed. They don't
know. Exactly. So folks, wake up and see who you are. You're special. You're loved. And the enemy can't steal from you unless you give it to him. I've learned this, don't ever compromise your beliefs. The devil will never compromise. Notice that. You try to be a nice guy and maybe not share something that might offend, they don't care what they say. They're not going to compromise. I don't compromise. I'm not going to do that. The Lord didn't call me to be a compromiser. Called me to proclaim and teach, to exhort. And I just pray that you get revelation knowledge. Thank you guys for being able to stay. Father, we just thank you for this time. Bless your people now. Lord, I pray for revelated knowledge for all of us to know who we are in you and who you are in us. We walk in your power, your strength, Lord, with your anointing in our lives. Holy Spirit, do your work as the Lord Jesus sent you and gave you to each of us. As we receive you, you will minister through us and to us. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.